Amen. Oh, go ahead and give the Lord a real good hand clap tonight of praise. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. How many of you enjoyed church here Wednesday night? We just had another camp meeting, didn't we? The word of the Lord just gets better all the time. So good to have you here tonight. How many of you come to have church tonight? How many of you come to help push? How many of you going to pull? You're going to push. You're going to shove. You're going to do whatever it takes to break through the walls. Are you going to do that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Play it with all your heart, guys. Give me seven. God bless you guys. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you, my friend. Come here. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you all.
There's a lighthouse on a hillside.
Oh, yes, there is.
That overlooks life's sea.
Hallelujah.
When I'm tossed,
oh, thank you, Father.
It sends out a light.
Hallelujah.
A light that I might see.
Say it, buddy.
And that light that shines. In the darkest night will safely lead me home.
Hallelujah.
If it wasn't for that lighthouse, I know my ship would sail no more.
Yes, I thank God
for the lighthouse.
Let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Bert and Sister Gravely, also Brother Bert's daughter Patty, they all need our prayers tonight. Brother Bert is in the hospital over in West Virginia. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer as we pray tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. I think maybe he's scheduled to be released on Monday as far as we know right now, but they're asking that we would just pray that God would give him strength and remember that family in her prayers. I want to pray for Sister Sharon Ward tonight. She's in the rehab hospital. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful of Sister Sharon, also Brother Rocky and the Ward family, that the Lord would just help them, give them strength, give them peace, and may he just touch Sister Sharon, let her receive her healing. We know she's already healed. Maybe may her faith just reach out and take hold of it. And believe the Lord for that. So we want to remember those folks tonight. Brother Gene Littleton says to remember him in prayer, as he will be having surgery on Monday Also pray for a quick recovery and still remember my family in prayer. So we certainly want to pray for those needs tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of Brother Gene and pray for his family tonight. Brother Keith Phillips says to please pray for my Aunt Shirley Cress in Ohio. She's in the hospital. Her kidneys are not working properly. The specialist can't figure out why, but we know that God knows and is able to heal. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Brother Amos sends this in for Brother Bruce Hackett in Manitoba. Needs a touch on his foot. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. Give him healing on his body tonight. Sister Teresa sends this in tonight. I want to give a praise report for what God has done for my nephew, Dalton Sims. The doctor sedated him to do an MRI and a spinal tap. He had been talking and acting like he was out of his head. When he woke up, he was in his right mind. We don't know what caused it, but we know who took care of it. Praising our God for his goodness. Continue to pray for a full recovery. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand tonight? We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Gene Lehman, would you come tonight? Pray over these needs. We'll just commit them unto the Lord and ask him to have his divine will. We're going to have a good time here tonight. I already sense it in the making. It's done started. Let's just get ready. Brother Gene, God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy.
Let's just bow our heads tonight. Father, we want to welcome you in to our service tonight, God. We want you to come and have the preeminence in our lives tonight, God. We realize, God, if you don't come, then we won't be getting much out of this service, Lord. If we don't put something in it, I know that we won't, Father. But you said all the licks of fire would come together, Lord, that just one or two people would be in your, two or three would be in your midst, that you would come and be among us, Lord. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. You hung on a cross. You were beaten and striped that we could have healing, Lord. And I hold in my hands tonight, God, people that need a touch of that healing power tonight, God. I know, Brother, I talked to Brother Gene Littleton before church, and I know he's going through an operation, Lord, that is serious, Lord. And I know that you're able to move and make a way, Father, where there seems to be no way. Lord, there's many of them, Lord, that's standing here tonight, God, that are probably in pain or in some sort of a discomfort, God. But Lord, you're still on the throne. You're still God. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. Lord, you can move where nothing can move. You can come when there's not even look like there's a way to come, when there's not even an avenue, God, for you to come. But God, you're God, and nothing can stop your great move, Lord. So we pray now that you'll have your way in this service, God, that you'll come down in a mighty way, and you'll bring every one of our hearts, Lord, into harmony, Lord, with one accord, God, that when we hear the word of God tonight, Father, that it'll prick us in such a way, Lord, that it'll stir us, it'll move us, God, in areas where we never even thought that we could be moved into, God, but you're able, Lord, tonight, and we believe you tonight, Father. So we ask tonight, God, that you'll take over, that you'll have your way in every heart that's here tonight, Father. Meet every need for this service, we pray, and we'll give you honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make an announcement, a couple of announcements tonight. Brother Aaron and Sister Lindsay Gilreth are making Happy Valley their home church. All of you know who those folks are. Give them a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Also, Brother Eddie and Sister Susie Gilreth, they're making Happy Valley their home church. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. So as you folks journey with us on our journey, I trust you'll just enjoy it. Put up with us. We'll put up with you. We'll tolerate each other. And we got a home going here not too long down the road. Are you glad about that? Give them one more nice hand tonight, if you will. God bless you. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. The brothers are supposed to be getting a song on the screen. Are you there yet? No, not even close. No people sing it tonight. Well, we're going to do it anyway. So somebody get those words from Brother Eric and get them up here to me. And you hope you can read my writing. But before we do that, let's sing this little chorus tonight. Just had this on my heart and I'm thinking about it. You know, as we journey in life, we know that we're just poor people, most of us. Don't really have a lot to offer as far as, thank you, Brother George, as far as money, properties, fancy this. We don't have a lot to offer, but we're happy. We're happy in our journey, aren't we? And you know, to think about it, you, as you journey in life, if you get to that place, when you get to that place, you're going to be given a crown of life. Now, I don't want no crown. I don't even deserve a crown. I'll just be tickled to death to be there. How about you? The 24 elders, they cast their crowns at his feet, Brother Harry. Such an awesome being. And you know, as we stand before him, and we're given a crown of life, whatever that is, I just want to fall at his feet and thank him for saving a sorry human being like me, giving me eternal life when I didn't deserve it. But he loved me in spite of me. Aren't you glad he loves you in spite of you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise. We'll fall down. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together tonight. We'll fall down. We'll lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Do you love him with all your heart? Somebody say it ain't nothing but the truth. We'll fall down. We'll lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We'll cry.
We'll fall down.
Could you just lift your hands just for a minute? Let's give him a little praise tonight. Why don't you just take just a few seconds. Just tell him how much you love him, how much he means to you, how much you appreciate where he's brought you from. We'll fall down. We're going to lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the greatness of His mercy and His love
is at the feet of Jesus.
Now sing this with all your heart. We'll cry. Sing it to Him. Yes, we'll cry. Oh, we'll cry. Oh, He's the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got a couple of specials tonight. Brother David Swanson has a song for us. Also, Sister Lindsay has a song for us tonight. So if they'll come onto the platform, however how you want to sing. Brother David, if you want to go ahead and sing tonight. Sister Lindsay, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. And I'm going to take this upstairs and see if I can get these words put on the screen, because you need to sing this song tonight. You really do. It's a good one. Isn't it a good one? All right, Brother Eric's got most of it. Take it back there to him. Tell him, I said to finish it. Will you do that for him? Yeah, I said to finish it. Brother David, sing, buddy. God bless you.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft lost my way? While the storm howled above me, and there's no hiding place. 'Neath the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds be forever rolled away. Oh, hold me fast, keep me fast in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrows, no hope in the by and by. Oh, but I know Thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds be forever rolled away. Oh, hold me fast, keep me true in the hollow of your hand. Oh, keep me safe safe till the storm passes by.
Glory. The Lord. Amen. Certainly appreciate our songs tonight. Appreciate our singers. God bless them. Let's stand tonight. Let's see if we can sing a little bit of this song tonight. Brother Eric, we got it on the screen now. All right, can you put it to put the chorus up there for us? All right, let's see if we can do this. It says, there's no God that's greater than mine. Now, do you believe that with all your heart? There's gods everywhere. People worship every kind of thing in the world. But there's no God greater than Jehovah. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, there's no God as big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. It makes no difference what the devil tries. You tell him there's no God big as mine. Oh, there's no God as big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. It makes no difference what the devil tries. You tell him there's no God big as mine.
When your back's against the wall, and that mountain seems so tall, and the enemy is quickly closing in, you just hold your head up high. Your redemption's drawing nigh. Then there's no God bigger than mine. No God bigger than mine. Devil tries.
You tell him
there's no God big as mine. And when the devil makes his talking loud, and he makes his boasting him so proud, he's telling you all the things he's gonna do. You just look him in the face. Put the devil back in his place and say, there's no God as big as mine.
There's no God
as big as mine.
Too big of a problem
you just can't find.
It makes no difference
what the devil tries.
You tell him
there's no God as big as mine.
I said there's
no God as big as mine.
Too big of a problem you'll never find.
It makes no difference what the devil tries. You tell him there's no God big as mine. There's no God as big as mine.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you don't feel that way about Jesus tonight, I'd advise you to find you another one. That's right. But if you do, wow. We're in a place tonight there ain't no telling what can happen. When we can be able to believe Him and take Him at His word, yeah, I love seeing it, don't you? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, if you would. When we say things like this, no God as big as mine, it's not necessarily that we're talking about size. Size of eyes, size of hands, fingers, and so on. Greatness is not measured necessarily that way. Let's listen at him talk about himself in Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the High and Lofty One. that inhabiteth eternity. Is there anybody here who can say that truthfully? Can cigarettes say it? Dope? Sin? The devil? There's only one that can say this. My daddy. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Now listen to this. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. You mean the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity is willing to dwell with people like us with a contrite spirit? That's greatness. Of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is why the way up is truly down. St. John chapter 1, or chapter 17 rather, verse 1 through verses 3. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now listen to this carefully. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast, past tense, given him. Oh, glory. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You understand how simple that is, yet how great. This is life eternal, that they may know. But just because you know it don't mean you know it. You've got to know it in a different way than many times you think you know it, in order for you to be able to know it, to make it real. Or you don't know it. You see, you could have been taught about God and taught about Jesus and still not know it. But you've got to know it. But when you know it, that's eternal life. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your precious word. Oh God, we're so grateful that our God is a mighty God. A God who can raise the dead and heal the sick and deliver those that are bound and do such wonderful, wonderful things. And yet, be able to dwell among broken and contrite spirits. How great you are. And we know that your prophet has taught us that greatness is expressed in humility. So greatness is not expressed in the way that man would think. So we're asking then tonight that you would come and express yourself in greatness, in a magnanimous way that only you can do. But yet, it may not be in a way that man would measure and call it great. But we know if it's great in your eyes, it will be great in ours. For you are changing our thinking to match yours. I pray you would help us tonight, Father. Lord, I'm thinking, Brother Rocky and Sister Sharon Ward, Lord, you see the need of our sister, dear God, going to see her this week. And Heavenly Father, she really needs a touch. I'm just asking you, Lord, for your grace that you would help her. Brother Rocky, Lord, trying to take care of her and trying to help her and all the things that's on him. May the grace of God be with him, Lord, tonight. Lord, not just them, but there's other needs here among us. And we're believing you to manifest yourself, Father, in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Remember, Lord willing, we'll be having a prayer line here Wednesday night. We're just looking forward to that. See what the Lord's going to do for us. I believe we'll see the hand of our God mighty among us. Let me read to you a couple of things. I want to speak to you again tonight, at least tonight, and maybe possibly tomorrow, on the eternal in the galleries. I love the way that Brother Branham brings the view of the eternal into a way that can be understood and comprehended. Myself, I've served God for many, many years before I ever heard the message. But yet, I never heard a preacher, and I heard a bunch of them. I preached a bunch myself. But I never heard a one of them be able to describe the eternal. As a matter of fact, to the best of my memory, I never heard one preacher, and I met some of the best Pentecost had, I never heard a one of them even refer to him as the eternal or be able to define the characteristics of the eternal. Truly, I was moved by the signs, the discernment, the healings, and those things that I heard in Brother Branham's message. But it wasn't really that got my attention. One of the main things to me was how that he talked to God, and how that he addressed God, and how that he loved God, and how that he related to God. It so captured me, because I had never heard God related to in so many ways as I heard the prophet of God bring him. And it brought God, and it still does to me this day. It still brings God in a way to me that makes him so wonderful, so phenomenal, so beyond human understanding, and yet in another way, so simple. So when each of us would have, of course, the thing that has so impressed upon us in hearing the message of the hour. But when I think of healings and miracles, and we all love those, and they are wonderful. But yet in the eighth day, there won't be any healing going on. In the eighth day, there'll be no lame people walking, because there'll be no lame people. There will be no deaf ears unstopped or any blinded eyes come open. So to me, it will not be healing and an eternity of talking and rejoicing over daily miracles that are being performed, or the sick that are being renovated by the power of God. What will eternity consist of? It will consist of his being, constantly being unfolded before us. Now, as much as we love healings and we need them, we need deliverances in our life and things like that, but yet as great as they are in time, they're only given to us in this temporal sense, in this little hickey, as it was, that dropped down in this circle. Now, eternity is like a circle. So there's no place that you can find where it started or where it stopped. But God purposed to reveal the fullness of his attributes, and it must be revealed in something called time. So Brother Branham uses the word because he said his wife called it that. Don't you love this kind of prophet? You can imagine a lot of preachers now say, well, my wife said so and so, and I got that from them. They got too much pride to say they got anything from anybody. Now, let's read about the eternal in the message, Perfection. God is endless like eternity. You can never find the corner of a perfect circle. You could run and run to the ages and eternity, and there would never, never, never be an end to it. And that's the way God is. Be first, which God, notice now the way that He was, which God was, always was. He was infinite, perfect to begin with, and He'll always be the same. He never can change. He's perfectly the same. Now, this great chain of perfection was broken by time space. Time came because of sin. Let's draw a little picture of time. Let's see a perfect circle forever, forever, and then all at once sin dropped in, and I'll put a little, as my wife calls it, a little hickey or a little drop in the chain. So now here is the circle of eternity. It's just going and going and going and going, and there is no start, there is no stop, there is no delay, there's absolutely nothing but eternity. And then all of a sudden we see a little drop that comes off of this circle. Now, it comes around and around and around and around, and it never ends. But let's just say, for the sake of the imaginary picture in our mind, that at the bottom of the circle, we see this little tiny loop as it comes down something similar to this. Now, it's so, so tiny in comparison to the relative size of the circle itself. So now, it breaks down into this little loop, or as his wife called it, a hickey, whatever in the world that is. It's not, now he says, it's a little drop in the chain, so it comes down. But eternity continues on. But it's not in its perfect condition. Now remember, when we are in time, we are still in eternity. Eternity is still ongoing, but what we've done, we've dropped down into this little drop in the very bottom of the chain. Now, it might be so small and its size would be so minuscule and insignificant that it could hardly be seen in comparison to the circle of eternity itself, because it's so great. So it drops down and it comes all the way around, and then all of a sudden we see a little bit, and it would say like this: in the beginning. In the beginning. Now that's when time began. So the loop then comes down, or the little hickey, as he said, drops down in the bottom of the circle. Now, eternity has not stopped because the loop has now run down on the bottom. Eternity is still going on. Now, the key of the new birth is being able to bring your soul back into the circle and leave your body in the hickey. Glory! Amen! Now, you have received the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have moved out of the seventh over into the eighth day already by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch. He said eternity continues on, but it's not in its perfect condition. There's a little gap that comes down, breaks over this way and goes out this way, and God had to do that because Satan caused it. And it dropped down to a space of time. Now really listen to reasons why it's dropped. It dropped into the space of time for the trying and the perfecting and for the purging of the lost, that God by His sovereign grace might someday lift that little hickey or gap back. Oh, glory to God. Lift it back up into to the perfect perfect circle. So it simply drops down off of the pattern of the circle of eternity, and God allows it to be called time. Now, once it drops down, there's certain traits and characteristics which are only known or seen or made manifest in time. Now, the devil would have dropped in this element of time and sin and sickness and disease and world government and so on and so on. And once this little gap is pulled back up and its completion back into the ring of eternity, then all those things which only have a time identity, they will all cease to exist. Then it will come right back into the circle of eternity again. Now, in the circle, as it drops down, comes the manifestation of the attributes of God. Now, there are some that were with him in the eternal, and they drop down with him in this gap. But as the gap is left here for thousands of years, he will also, by his grace, allow others who were not already in the circle in his thoughts. He will allow them, while they're in this gap of time, to be able to receive eternal life. Not already having it, they will be able to receive eternal life and go into eternal life, not because it is already theirs or because they were an attribute of God, but because the mercy of God in this little gap of time will give them the privilege to do it. Oh, isn't that a loving Father? My, notice this. Now he says, God by his sovereign grace might someday lift that little hickey or gap back up into the perfect circle. Then she rolls on just the same. You see it. Notice him again now. Your love ought to be to Christ undefiled, but Satan perverts that love to something of the world. He perverts it, so then he perverted good to wrong and taken the angels with him. A little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity. Now, here he calls it a little block. So, a little block fell out of this perfect circle called eternity. Now, let's drop it again in our mind. So, a little block falls right out of the bottom part of this circle of eternity. So, it comes around and it goes right down. But here is a detour, and it comes down in that little block. And then at the end, when the seventh goes back into the eighth day, it just simply comes down in the block like this, goes right back up, and eternity is going on all the time. Now, it is very, very small. If we'd be able to draw it tonight, would you be able to see it? The block itself is so small. So how long have we been in time? Maybe thousands of years, maybe millions of years. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. And then, of course, we know in verse 2, we take up after the cataclysmic change has happened to the earth. So there could have been millions of years that happened actually between verse 1 and verse 2. We don't know. We don't know exactly how long it was after the angels were created that they were there in that perfect state. But in that, compared to eternity, if it has been millions of years, if time is millions of years old, it is so small compared to the eternity that the eternal one has been in. Oh, hallelujah. And never did start and never will end. So in this block, it simply comes down like this, goes back up, and goes right back into the eternal again. Everybody with me? Everybody understanding so far? All right. Now watch. A little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity, dropped right down to a place called time, and it come right in here. It goes around, goes right out yonder over here, time, but he said eternity exists right on down through time. Now eternity is still going on, so all you've got is this little drop, or this little hickey, or this little box that drops right down, and all these attributes of God are made manifest, and he brings it right back down. So what did Satan do? What did Satan do? Did he tear up the whole program of God? Absolutely not. It's still in eternity the way it was all along, but he chose to allow it to come down through time. Now, listen to this. Brother Kelly Hillebrand, a minister from up in Canada, sent me this week. Now, in the beginning, that's when time started, when eternity broke down into time. Now watch, in the beginning, that's when time started, when eternity broke down into time. Now after a while, time comes back into eternity. So here is eternity, then God said in the beginning, when he started creating himself towards flesh. So in the beginning was the Word, which was the Logos. It comes out of the very fullness of the attribute of God. Now that's when time began. So in this, it drops down into the span of time, but he knows it will come right back up into the eternal again. Now, after a while, time comes back into eternity. Of course, time is eternity too. But time is allotted space. Now, think of how long that many of us have been living. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. What is that compared to if you live 80 years compared to the way Noah lived back in his day? Or 80 years compared to Adam living to be 930? Or 80 years compared to Methuselah 969. Well, then if we would compare 969 to eternity, what would that be? Absolutely nothing. And the way we look at it, that God has put up with us and put up with us, and God's put up with us with all of our problems and all our issues. Do you realize how short your life has really been as far as all of that view to God? Do you know that Jesus come on the earth and lived on the earth just a couple of days ago? Jesus was on the earth a couple of days. Oh, hallelujah. It was just day before yesterday, as far as 1,000 years being a day with the Lord. And we think, oh, God must hate me. Oh, I've caused God so much problem. It's been no more than that. Your existence on the earth has not even been the twinkling of an eye. And yet Satan wants to twist that thing around in our mind and make us feel like we've caused God millennia of trouble. That is a lie from hell. I'll tell you what I brought to God. I have brought to God millennia after millennia of joy. I was in his thinking before there was a foundation of the world. Yes, I brought him sorrow. Yes, I failed him. But I have brought him much more happiness than I have joy. I have brought him much more, oh glory to God, much more on the positive side than I have on the negative. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch this. He said, that's the only thing we know is inches and yards and miles and figures and so forth. But that's nothing to God. He don't have no time. He's eternal. He's the only source of eternal life. There he is. It is God. Our Father, he's eternal. Now therefore, if we have eternal life, we have part of God in us and God in us. You believe that? God is in us. Then that's the only way you could have eternal life. It's something that was manufactured and given you by some creed. You lived into it or you grew into it to be a better man or a better woman. It's God himself in you. Amen. Glory. Just like you're a part of your Father here on earth. You're a part of your Heavenly Father. And what you are, you're the attribute of his thoughts. Of you before the foundation of the world, you're expressed glory. He had to breed. He had to breathe it in and everything to get what you are. He had to breathe it in and everything to get you what you are. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we know then that attribute expresses itself with the divine ability to be able to hear the word of God for the day that you live in. Now, the attribute of God does not just say amen to what God done 500 years ago, or even what God done 20 years ago, but the attribute of God is able to be synchronized with the present day revealed word of the hour. Because it is the express attribute of God, it links with the express word of God for the day. Now, in the beginning, of course, was the word, and we know that God created the heavens and the atmosphere and all that, but that's not the day we're living in. You see, God is not now currently out creating more atmospheres and more worlds. That's not the hour we're living. So the word for then will not work for this day. Praise the Lord. It's good to talk about it. I love reading. I love talking about Moses and all that God does, but I'm not living in the days of Moses. I'm not living in the days of Paul. This is my day. So I need the express word for the day that I live in. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you know how that is with an express place. Well, generally, if you've got a real, so many times a real fine restaurant, and they'll kind of branch off. Or maybe they don't want to go to a full stream restaurant like they've got in this main location. So they'll have an express version of their restaurant. They'll have certain you know, items and appetizers and this and that and the other. And it will be an express version of the main system, because where they're going to put it up, they can't put out the whole thing. Well, that's the way it's been in every age. You see, we don't need a new Bible. What we need is the express version of the word for the hour. God didn't come to have Brother Branham to write a new Bible. We didn't need one, but what we needed was the main menu set up for this day. We love to talk about Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all that. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. But we could take where we are in this hour and preach it and be able to preach the bride into a body change if we left out 4,000 years of history. Why? We're identifying the express word for this hour. Oh my. Notice this in Future Home. Now you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. Now listen, what proved he wasn't a son of God? He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? But he couldn't recognize the express. Uh-oh. The express word of the hour. Not the express word of 2,000 years. Not the word of 500 years ago. But the express word of the hour. How many of y'all drink espressos? Some of you? Well, I ain't a coffee drinker. But from what I hear, some of them things can curl your toenails. I mean, they are loaded with caffeine and all kinds of stuff. I don't know really what it does to you, but man, it'll light you up and give you a buzz from what I'm understanding about it. But you know what? To think of it now in the sense that God has a spiritual espresso for his elect. Do we talk about what Luther did? We do. Do we talk about Wesley? Do we refer to those things? We do. But yet in the real modern sense of where we are, we needed something with a lot of, not of caffeine, but a lot of body changing power. So what did God do? God gave us an express message, and this message don't just have justification, and it does. It don't just have sanctification, and it does. But it's got so much justification, so much sanctification, so much baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then God capped off the whoop cream on the top of it with rapture power. So you see, we needed a real express message of the hour that would be able to change our bodies. Now notice this scribe, this Pharisee guy. What proved that he was not elect and did not have representation was he was not have the ability, given the ability, to be able to recognize the express word for the hour. So when he heard it, his denomination said nothing about it. He learned what God did. Now he knew what God was, and he knew what God had done, and he heard what God used to be, but he didn't know what God was now. Well, praise the Lord. Notice this now. He couldn't recognize the express word of the hour. He only had an intellectual, listen to this, intellectual learning from some group that had been back before it. And that's the same thing today. See, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. That was the word spoken exactly for that day. And yet he was a scholar, a renowned person. But he could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholar he was, anything like that, he didn't have representation of predestination. Now, in this circle was the eternal. And the eternal had family thoughts. His own relation. His own kind. Amen. Now, whenever it drops down into this little loop or this little box from eternity, the eternal will allow those attributes from his own being to drop down in time with it, each of them in their own time. Now, he will give to them a divine deposit. He will call it many things, but here we're referring to it as representation of predestination. Well, glory. I love that word. He didn't have representation or predestination. Only the predestinated will be the only one who does, only can be, and you can only do it because, look, it proves predestination. Because if you've got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all the times. You see, before it ever dropped into this, you were in that. You were in that. Now, are many, many people that will wind up being in the eternal, were they in that? They were not. They had their origination down in this box or slot of time. And the grace of God would be on the Lamb's book of life and went over into the book of life and said, whosoever will, let him come. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. You don't have to be lost. He does not give them eternal life now as their possession, but they get it later and they go into an existence of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because you've got eternal life. You had to be a part of God all the time. Because he's the only one that is eternal. You see it. Oh my. Think of it. Now let's look at the meaning of this word again. Representation. Statement or account made to influence opinion or action. So representation is a statement or an account which is made to influence opinion. So representation would be something made to influence your destiny. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, for the bride of Christ, it was not her destiny that produced her origination. It's her origination which produces her destiny. We was with him here before we was here. This had been my heartaches and my troubles and my sorrow, but I was here before I was ever here. And I'm going out of this before long, and it don't look like it's going to be very long at all. My, think of it, friends. Think of it, how time has dropped down through there. Think of where we are on this scale. Wonder how close we are, the last leg coming back up before it goes right back into the eternal again. Oh, glory! But in our soul, if we've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we've done cross the loop. We've done moved across time into eternity, and the tree of life is already blooming in your soul. Eternal life is already abiding in you, and you have passed from death unto life. Your soul has done moved out of this back into this. Thank you, Lord. So all men and all women, don't you be discouraged. Brother Branham illustrates at the blackboard. If you are a representation of up here. Now he'd drawn a circle of God and he put dots or whatever more on the inside of that and said that was God's attributes. So, oh man, oh woman, don't you be discouraged. If you are a representation up here in this attribute of God. This God, if you have it, if you're represented here, you're in the eternal. And if you've crossed from the seventh day into the eighth, you've got into the eternal day by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're included in this. Praise be to God. If you have crossed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've come down through time, went across the straight way, come up through the last leg, and you jumped across back into eternity again. That's why in your soul you're never down. In your soul you're never weary. In your soul you don't think about going back. You've done cross back into eternity again. But your body can get sick. Your body can get weary. Your body can get down. Why? It's still down here in the block of time. Oh, thank you, Lord. Watch this again. Now, his favorite character dealing with election and predestination, the woman at the well. Proving his word, he said, by the way, go get your husband and come here. She said, I don't have any husband. Well, I said, you've told the truth because you've had five and the one you've got now is not your husband. See, watch, something happened. Something took life. Now, if it hadn't been in there, if she hadn't had representation from predestination, it had never took hold. Now look, all you want, you'll not find this term in many of the world dictionaries. You'll not find this term used by Spurgeon. You'll not find this term used by Moody. You'll not find this term used by many great men, Price, and all the different ones that have lived down through the age. It's a term coined for the end time bride. It's your shot of espresso. Representation from predestination. Oh my, hallelujah. There stood the priest there and said, this man is of Beelzebub. See, no representation. Eternal life. You always was. You see, you have eternal life and there's only one form of it, and that's God. And you were his attribute. He thought of you and knows you before the foundation of the world in his mind. She looked around. Oh, glory to God. She looked around. What a sinful shape she was in. But see, he couldn't get that priest because that priest was an educated scholar, a theologian in the word, but no representation in heaven. Wasn't in God's thinking at all, but this woman was. Now remember, we hear just a little bit more about this woman and her history closes, but I guarantee you one thing, this woman being ordained to life, this woman went on if she lived and got the Holy Ghost. You see, representation is not your new birth. And representation does not leave you at home. Representation does not, well, I don't have to do anything. I've got representation. Representation will go to working on you. And it will make you, oh my, have such a desire to obey God's word. It's the very sign that you have representation. I don't know where the woman went to church. She might have been one of them up there in the upper room. But this seed in this woman would not have let her stay at home, and when the Holy Ghost is falling around somewhere, she went, if she lived, she went and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and took up at the church somewhere and got under a real ministry that was preaching the word of God. You see, we still need the baptism of the Holy Ghost even though we've got representation in heaven. Now, I'll just mention to you here Wednesday night that I wanted you to be able to read John 3:16, and I hope that many of you did that. But let's read this together here momentarily. But I want to point out to you that Jesus never spoke John 3:16 to Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It was spoken to a non-elect person. This same person was also addressed about the new birth before John 3:16 was talked about. And his name is Nicodemus, of course. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh my. Now I got you listening, don't I? But what's this in the church age book? Let me show you where Nicodemus fit. To further clarify, notice specifically the words of Matthew 25:31-46. It does not say that a shepherd is literally separating sheep from the goats, but is as a shepherd dividing sheep from goats. These are not sheep in this particular area of time, the white throne judgment. Now remember, the prophet is referring back to the parable that the Lord Jesus gave of the sheep, or it sounds like sheep, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now in the parable, you remember that the Lord Jesus said, look to these righteous people and said, well, I'll tell you what, I was hungry and you gave me some food, and I was thirsty and you gave me some drink and all this. And they said, well, when did we do that? We never even lived in the time you lived. I lived from 1995 up to 2017. I never lived during that time frame. He said, oh no, you don't understand. Whenever you've done this to my brothers. So he's talking to people who are going to go into eternal life that are not his brothers. They're going into eternal life, but they don't have eternal life like his brothers do currently. I ain't waiting on eternal life. I've already got it. I've already moved into the cycle of it. Now watch, the sheep, these are not sheep in this particular area, watch on judgment. The sheep are in his fold. They heard his voice, word, and they followed him. They already have eternal life and cannot come into judgment. why the eternal decreed it so. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That is a legal term that Paul coined from the courts in his day. And it was a term judicially that was used when someone would bring a charge against someone else, a legal charge. And Paul's saying, who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Praise the Lord. Oh, but the donkey, the devil's the accuser. Yeah, what's he accusing, though? He knows better than to accuse that gene of yours. He's accusing that old stinking flesh. Oh, my. Notice, they already have eternal life and cannot commit the judgment. These do not have eternal life. They are in the judgment, but they are allowed to go into. Now notice, here it is, the circle of eternity. It dropped down into time, and they come down through there, and they heard the word, and many of them, they love God, millions of them. They love God as far as they could as a mortal, and they did not want to be lost. They did not want to go to hell. And maybe they come across the enlightenment of the day, but they could not respond to it, and they just, well, I don't think it's for me. You know, then people say, all right, but that just ain't for me. That's not who I am. So they went on, and they done everything that they knew to do. And God, in His mercy, is now closing up the final phase when we stand at the white throne. And the leg of time has crawled back up into eternity. And here He stands. And He's going to say to them, I'm going to let you go into eternal life. Because of the way you treated my brothers. You're not going into eternal life. Eternal life has already come into you. But notice, now they're being carried out of the block of time. And because of the right condition being met. Notice what Jesus says. He doesn't even say because you loved me. Because you went to church. Because you paid tithes. Because of the way you treated my brothers. If you don't believe this word and you don't believe this message, keep your fat mouth shut. Don't speak against the people of God. Don't run the people of God down. Don't bring difficulty on the people of God. You're going to answer to the main man. Jesus takes this very serious. My, can I go on? These do not have eternal life. They're in the judgment. They're allowed to go into. Notice now the difference between the real sheep of God, the ecclesia, the elect, and this category of people. The elect already have eternal life as their possession because the new birth was able to link with the attribute. Oh, Lord, children, don't you see? This is why they can be redeemed. A person that don't have one of them thoughts of God and that attribute of the soul, they can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and run and jump and shout and carry on, and the Spirit of God fall right down inside of that. But if there's not representation or predestination to fall upon that, they'll be able to jump and run and prophesy and speak in tongues and go right back to the things of the world. But the same baptism of the Holy Ghost moves down into the soul and lands on a redeemable attribute of God. It quickens them to eternal life. Amen. This is what's in you that makes you redeemable. They are not allowed to go. They are allowed rather to go into eternal life. But upon what grounds do they enter into life eternal? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have His life, as does the bride. But they receive it because they were kind to His brethren. They are not His brethren. That would make them joint heirs with Jesus. They are not heirs to anything but life. They share no throne, etc. with Him. Their names must have been in the book of life and not removed. So the grace and the mercy of God was so bountiful, it spilled over beyond the Lamb's personal diary, the Lamb's book of life, and spilled over into the book of life. And will offer millions of them eternal life. Oh, I see nothing but the grace of God. To me, predestination is the only thing that really gives you a clear view of grace. People think predestination and grace conflict. It's because they don't understand it. If you ever see predestination the way God is looking at it, it expounds and magnifies grace. Hallelujah. When we have our fall festival and we announce it to the church, and there's people from Canada come, and there's people from Indiana come, and Ohio come, there's people from the community come, there's people going by on a motorcycle and they stop free food. You think, where in the world are the dogs dragging some of this stuff? Where in the world? But now the deacons are heading. You go to Happy Valley, out of here, boy. So what do? We let them go ahead and eat. I pray God will really get a hold of them and tell you, maybe some of that chicken, some of you Holy Ghost saints frying, or some of your tortillas or whatever more, some of that influence will get a hold of them. Yeah. Don't you see that's the way God was? God so loved the world, not the bride. Because of their love of the people of God, they are recognized and saved. No doubt these served and helped the children of God, perhaps like Nicodemus, the first man in the New Testament to hear about the new birth, but never got. He might not could have got John 3:5, but he will wind up at John 3:16. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, perhaps like Nicodemus and Gamaliel, they stood for the children in the time of trouble. Now watch Jesus in John 3:16. He's speaking now to this man. For God so loved. What's the scripture say? Wait a minute. Whoa. You mean Jesus is not speaking of the elect? The bride? The chosen? The predestinated? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, notice these words now, the terms, conditional terms, are linked to John 3:16. So we know right off, we're not talking to these attributes in this circle. Whosoever believeth. Now you see, with the bride, it is not possibly, perhaps, or whosoever, or maybe. It's already done. Before it ever dropped down into this, the plan was already finished before the foundation of the world. So Jesus is opening up his mercy. Look, friend, I thank God for John 3:16. I thank God for John 3:16. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't get my encouragement from that verse, though. Oh, Lord, here we go. Every time I deal with John 3:16, I get blasted by emails and texts, but that's all right. I'm ready. That's what Jesus said. If you don't like it, go to the man who said it. Amen. He wasn't talking to me when he's talking about the world. I was just down in this little hickey called in a body of time. But before I was ever in this little block of time, I was up here in this. Amen. I am not whosoever. I'm not possibly or perhaps or maybe. I am that I am. It's who I'm a part of. I'm a part of I am that I am. Not I may be or I possibly will be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world. Notice these verses. It's all directed toward the world. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Are you sure about this now, Jesus? But that the world, through him, read the next word. What?
Might.
Louder.
Might.
Whosoever and might and possibly and whosoever endures to the end shall be saved. What are we talking about? Down in this little block of time. I'm not a might man. I'm not going to barely make it. I made it before I got here. I ain't barely hanging on. Come on, children. I'm not barely hanging on. Oh, the righteous curse of his own. Oh, my, the righteous ain't you. Lot is the righteous. You're beyond Lot. Well, that didn't go over good, but I'll see how you take it when I read it to you from Scripture. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might. Now, can you imagine the eternal projecting all of his attributes and saying, I hope some of them will make it. They might be able to come back. There might be some that will be able to endure. They might do it. Might's his own chickens. In case you don't know it, I ain't no chicken. I'm an eagle son. Well, praise the Lord. Might, look at it. Conditions, possibilities. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is to a man that very much needed this scripture. But here's one who spoke of me. St. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Look at the word heareth, aku, give audience to be endowed with the faculty of hearing, not deaf. To understand, to perceive the sense of what is said. Not just to hear it, not to just be able to repeat it, but endowed with a sense, an ability to know even the sense of what has been said. Glory to God. To perceive the sense of what is said, to give ear to the teaching or the teacher, to comprehend. To understand. He that understands my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. He's not going to get it at the white throne. He's already got it. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Croesus. Judgment, damnation, accusation, a separating sentence of condemnation. The bride is free. The attribute left the mind of God, dropped down in the block of time. It was free when it left. It dropped down into this body and landed in a body of sin, and that's why I need to be redeemed. The attribute needed to be redeemed. This is why you got to accept the Lord Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you was already his before you accepted, and he was already yours. But he still has to be redeemed, and it comes right back in the full circle again, and there he sits with the expression of his attributes. Amen. Whew. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Zoe, the state of one who is possessed of vitality, or is animate, every living soul of the absolute fullness of life, which belongs to God and through him, both to the hypostatic logos and to Christ, in whom the logos put on human nature. Lord, children, you ought to be dancing right now. You have got Zoe. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're not waiting for eternal life. Don't you see what Jesus has done? He has already spanned between the block of time and the circle of eternity. What did it take to breach the circle and the block? A cross. A cross went between the block of time and stood on the very edge of the circle of eternity and has led your soul back across. Amen. To the elect, the possession of eternal life is not relegated to some time after you leave this world. It is now. That's why when our loved ones pass away, they are not dead. Brother Tom, she ain't dead, buddy. She's just out of your presence. I heard the prophet say it the other day. He said, I see him every now and then. I don't need that. Sit yourself. Follow whatever you want to follow then. I'm going to follow this. Me and Carol went up to the Voice of God the other day and seen their facility and all that stuff up there. And they was taking us through and showing us letters, you know, and all this. And the brother was talking about Brother Branham getting prayer requests. Letters that would come in the mail. He didn't even open them. He would write the answer on the back of the envelope and give it back to Billy to answer. Now when you can do that, call me. And I'll take you out for lunch. Oh my. Don't you see what's happened? Lord God. The distinction between the present age and the age that is to come has been merged in the work of the Messiah. Where eternal life at one time was a reach for man. It is no longer and has not been since the day of Pentecost. That span has been breached by the kinsman redeemer. Not only to promise us eternal life after a while, I'm living right tonight under the effects of eternal life. I see why my body's going to have to be changed. Sometimes I get under the anointing and I'll say, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm fixing to change right now in a minute. Don't you see what it is? It's the very effect of eternal life right now. The only reason, Lord have mercy, children, that we're even given to it today is because the mercy of God has dropped down in this block of time. But listen to some of the things the scripture says about the elect now. Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This is over 700 years before he ever come to the earth. And he's got seed. Not whosoever will. Not perhaps. Not possibly. Isaiah 61:9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. You mean to tell me they're already his before he dies for them? They're already his, and he's not even shed one drop of blood yet. Why they dropped out was him. You don't remember it. But this is not your first time being here. You were here a couple thousand years ago. But you just don't remember it. You were in him. It ain't no wonder some of these stories turn us upside down. It's like you was there. Hallelujah. I was there with him with the woman at the well. I was there with him when he hung off the cross. I was there with him when he got out of the grave. I was there with him when he come back on the day of Pentecost. Glory to God. He shall save his people from their sins. St. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me, not might, as John 3:17 and 18, but shall. This is the status quo of the elect. Shall, not might. Not maybe, or possibly, or perhaps. Shall. I shall rise. I shall be part of the rapture. That's who I am. Shall, not might. St. John 6:65, and he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now this ain't been said to Nicodemus now. This is to the elect. St. John 13:18, I speak not unto you all, I know whom I have chosen. Wonder why Jesus went an Armenian, you see. I know y'all have chosen me, so you give me permission to choose you, and I thank you for that. I really appreciate it. That way my whole plan won't be messed up. I know I've chosen you. Y'all didn't choose me. Shut up. I chose you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread of me hath lifted up his heel against me, Judas. St. John 15:16, on the way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Now wait a minute, Jesus, what about John 3:16? What if I don't want to choose you, Jesus? Well, Peter said, now wait a minute, Lord, this is not fair. You mean to tell me you chose me before I chose you? You got this backwards, don't you, Jesus? I imagine they were so tickled to death. They were so happy. And especially after their mistakes. Because they're fixing to make some big ones. Oh, you imagine, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. My goodness, I mean, he ordained a lot of stuff, didn't he? He not only chose them, but I ordained you to bring fruit. I also ordained that fruit to be everlasting fruit. Praise God. That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's also ordained of God. Yeah. St. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Not John 3:17, whosoever. They can be saved if they'll endure. Which means Peter was lost. Because Peter didn't endure, John didn't endure, James didn't endure. Hang tight. If it wasn't for the predestination and God's grace, there'd probably be nobody here in this building on our own will that'd be serving God tonight. Oh, I know some of y'all are so proud of yourself, your stinking, rotten flesh, your old will that you worship and make a God out of. There ain't no telling. Look at what it led you to before the light struck your path. While you was out there drinking and running around and doping and doing all kinds of stuff, if it wasn't for predestination, representation of predestination, we'd probably be out there doing the same thing or waiting till tomorrow to go to a Baptist church or a Methodist church and let some sissy walk out there and preach eternal security to you. Brother, I'm preaching the real eternal security. This ain't the Baptist version and the Methodist version. This is the eternal. Hallelujah. This is the eternal version of eternal security. Oh. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. So John 3:16 was for the people in the world, and these were called out of the world. Y'all gonna get it. You gonna get it. When you do, some of you women are probably let out a squall about 3:30 in the morning. Your husband will reach and grab your cell phone and dial 911. Knows you've got a kidney stone or a heart attack or something. And it's a revelation of this word. This finally hits you. The prophet said you cannot go unless you recognize what part of the bride you are. It ain't good enough to recognize Brother Branham's part. That ain't going to put you in. It ain't good enough. When my mama was a good woman, you got to recognize your part of the word. You've got to recognize you come out of this circle and you drop down here in this block of time, but you come from God and you're going back to God. Not just saying words, not repeating it when I say it, but it's made so real to you that you can see yourself in that loop. St. John 17:9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. Verse 11. Now I am no more in the world. Isn't that strange? I'm no more in the world, and yet he's standing right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 12, and we'll close. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now here Jesus asked for something personal. What a new car, what a new world, a new universe. He asked for your fellowship. You see, when you and him were here, you were attributes and come from the very being of the eternal. But once it dropped down into time, into this little block, then you gained an identity, the ability to touch and love and speak and witness and testify and live for him. And he loves you collectively in the beloved, but he also wants to love you individually for things about you that's notable about you. That he takes note of you. As I was reading it today where Brother Bram said, God loved that spirit of Elijah because it always obeyed him. I thought, isn't that something? That God, what about the spirit of Gabriel or the spirit of Moses or the spirit of whoever more, but yet he loved that spirit. It's like God gives us this element of room in our election. And he lets the attributes of who we are, our courage, our faith, our stringent, our testing, and all of that, let that blossom. And then God looks at that and personifies that. And don't just put you collectively, well, these are all my kids, I love them all. But instead, he loves this about you and loves that about you and this about you. And oh my, hallelujah. That's a little preview of a sermon the Lord was giving me. The title is called, Why Does God Love You? I don't want him to love me just because I'm in Jesus. I want him to love me because he sees things in me, that is not a collective mechanical move, but something about me, my desire, my fervency, my stand. You understand? Don't you want God to love you as an individual? You want to be a number in the economy of God? You want it just to be a head count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Or do you not want God to look at you and say, I love him. Look at Caleb. Caleb had another spirit. I love this one. I love that one. I want to have something, if it ain't but one thing, something about me that God says, I love Donnie for that. David was a man after God's own heart. Is that true? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given before thou hast lovest me, before the foundation of the world. And Jesus comes on down a few verses from this and said, Father, you loved them as you loved me. And how did he love him? From before the foundation of the world. The eternal in the galleries. Let's close. Get in your mind now. Who knows how long that it went in this? Eons of ages, millennia, tens of thousands, millions, trillions, billions of years. Then in the beginning, whoop. Now it's been down on the bottom of the circle, as it were, for how many ever thousands, millions of years in time, the great purpose of God unfolding. We can look back and see we're not in the days of Noah, we're not in the days of Moses, we're not in the early days. We must be up this last leg somewhere. We can hear the breeze from the circle of eternity as it's pulling us. It's that rush. It's that rush. Oh, glory to God. Any of y'all ever been on the subways in New York City or some of these great big places in Atlanta? When you go to the Atlanta airport and them things come through and they come so fast, them subways, we sit there in New York City, how they come through, then they warn you not to get so close to it because it coming through that suction actually pull people into it. Can't you feel the pull?
Yeah.
It's fixing to suck us up. It's the suction of that great train. Hallelujah! Glory! She's coming on that last spur. She comes back into eternity. Glory to God. And we'll look behind us and what we'll see. We'll see all this circle of the attributes of eternity. And we'll go through the millennium and the white judgment is what throne judgment is set. And then we'll stand there and we'll see the outpouring of Matthew 25. And we'll see tens of millions of people. That Baptist guy you worked with, that Methodist guy that couldn't understand you, and that Church of God guy, those really nice guy, and really had nice things to say about you, but never could understand the message. You give him a book and give it back to you, but he's afraid to say anything about it. One day you look around and there he'll be standing. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus will look at them and said, you done this and this. I never done any of that. He said, oh, but you don't understand. You see, my brothers, you're with me in the throne, and there you'll be. There will be the bride in the throne. All these people that have run us down and laughed at us and talked about us and criticized us, if they don't repent, they'll stand before God. They'll not just be scared when they see God there. They'll be scared when they see me. They'll be scared when they see you. There you'll be standing in a glorified body in his throne with him. And they're going to pass up in front of you. All the things they ridiculed you about on Facebook and laughed at you and called you names. Now they're standing before the tribunal of God. Not here, just his mighty presence. But when you're there and they walk up and you imagine the trembling and the shaking and the quivering when they see you watching them. And they're walking up and your eyes is on them. And they walk right up and stand. Jesus says, I was among you and you never helped me. You never fed me. You run me down. You talked about me. You told lies on me. Lord Jesus, I never... Son, you see, when you did this to my boy, you did it to me. You put my picture in your paper. You told lies about me on Facebook. You made all kinds of falsehoods and put it on YouTube. Well, Lord Jesus, I never done it. I stand for you. Oh, no. When you done it to my prophet, you done it to me. All their crying, all their praying, all their offerings, all their tithing, every bit of it will be worthless. Then he will say unto the wicked, cursed be ye. When you didn't do it to the least of these, my brothers, you didn't do it to me. Enter into everlasting damnation. But God, I went to church. God, I paid my tithes. God, I went overseas. God, I done. But you failed to see the espresso made flesh among you. Praise the Lord. I feel like for myself, I'm bride. I'm elect. But you know what? I'm going to make it either way. Because as good as I've been to God's people around the world, I've got a straight shot to the paradise of God either way I go. Ain't no way I'm going to miss it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve coming all that. But I just have this deep down feeling, Brother Jack. I drop down out of that circle right down to this embodiment of time. And I'm coming right back up in that last leg of it. Let's stand together. The eternal. No wonder this gives an eternal quality to the elect. Thank you, Lord. You see, part of the Messiah's display and his work was to make manifest the name of the Father to the progeny of God or the Messiah's brothers. The name of God, of course, is the character of God. Shem, the Hebrew word name, means character or reputation of that which is named. Jesus made known to us the character of God. It caught our attention. We knew he was in time. We knew he was undeserving. But we didn't know that we'd drop down into that loop. But by God's grace, we've already crossed the line in our souls back into eternity. And every now and then we feel that tug. And when you get to go to feeling a little bit low, God will send you a glorified body near you to give you a charge like a battery. You ever get a little bit down? You're trying to... Come to church and mother, all right, everybody, let's worship the Lord. And y'all just saying, God says, dispatch the theophanies. They go to coming down and you hook up spiritual jumper cables. I know you may think it's foolish. That's what the prophet tells us. Your glorified condition is right here to send a charge through you like a battery. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all of a sudden, man, you're saying, I shall not be moved. Theophany steps near. I shall not be moved. I say, your wife's thinking, what in the world happened to you? The charger came by. I need him, friends, don't you? I need him. Oh, hallelujah. But Jack, we still need him. Praise God. We've got a sister that's going to be baptized tonight. If she'll come, prepare for that. Oh, children, think how close we are. How many times did we make that loop out yonder before it broke down in time? When NASA sends up their spacecraft and all that stuff to go around all these planets or whatever more, you know, there are millions of miles out there and they just go around and around and around. Here you were in the eternal loop after loop after loop. But then the beginning began. And God made a way for you to drop down in the little hickey. If some of y'all find out what that means, let me know. Oh, praise God. And God's fixing to pull that little loop out of the circle. He'll just simply tighten it up. So the little thread of time was just kind of bulged down at the bottom. And God just grabs the circle. And it just all pops right back into it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes, if you will, now. Think of it, friends. We're in the presence of the eternal right here tonight. For those of you who've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your soul has been moved beyond time, over beyond the veil. Your body's still here in this little loop of time. Get sick and weary and down and depressed and whatever more. You make mistakes and have to repent and ask God to forgive you. It ain't that soul of yours. If it's got the Holy Ghost, it's sealed. He that is born of God cannot sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. May you borrow your arms of time. May you borrow your hands of time, your voice of time. Be able to lift it in the presence of the King tonight. To be able to worship Him. Praise God. Isn't it amazing that the eternal was expressed in time, and now God turns it right back around and uses time to express the eternal. So here we stand tonight, and after the word has been preached, and the way God wants us to worship Him back is for the eternal in us to be expressed back through the expression of time. Fingers of time, arms of time, lips of time, eyes, ears, expression of time. So the eternal expresses itself back through your time element. Would you give it to Him? Would you give Him, oh, Brother Donnie, I've worked it down, I'm tired. Sure, I understand that. But for a few moments, maybe we can. We'll have to take a little bit of a rest, I know that. But let the eternal, thank God, have your elements of time to be able to express love back to the eternal. Then one day you, from the inside, you will take the body to meet the theophany. And it'll be pulled back up into the circle of eternity again. There you'll never age, you'll never get tired, you'll never get weary or sick. Glory to God. Brother Branham, will I love my wife then? Will I love her then? Oh yes, he said. You'll love her then more than now. It'll not be husband and wife, he said, as we know it. But she'll just be something that's yours. And you'll love each other and have each other there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, mighty God. We bless your name, great Adonai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just love Him, saints. Oh, He's so worthy and deserving of our very best, purest love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is Sister Katie Keplinger. Katie was baptized at a very young age, but recently she's rededicated and reconsecrated her life to the Lord. And she's come here tonight to be rebaptized and to drive a stake down for this rededication that's taken place. Let's just bow our heads with her just a moment. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for new beginnings. Every one of our lives, Lord, is full of new beginnings and fresh awakenings. And that's the way that Katie's approaching You here tonight, Lord, with a new beginning. Counting You faithful and judging You faithful to Your Word. A Word that says repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Our prophet told us, Lord, that You love to be reminded of Your Word. It's not my word, it's not another man's word, but it's Your word, Lord. And we judge You faithful to that. Lord, Your plan's not complex, it's simple. True repentance, Father, true repentance, full surrender, entitles Katie, Lord, to that promise of the Holy Ghost. Lord, may You awaken that germ seed, to bring forth a life that's not her own, Lord, but your life, Zoe, the day-to-day, Lord. May she go forward from here, Lord, with a renewed feeling of responsibility. She says she's come here to drive a stake down. Then let her go forward with a feeling of a greater responsibility that she's an example and an ambassador for you, Lord. Every day of her job, where she walks, where she goes, let her realize she's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We commit it to you in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Kate, based on your confession and obedience to the word of our Lord, we baptize you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Paul says in Hebrews 2:10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one." He who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. To the elect, he's not here and them here. They're not the same geographical design. But he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are from the same place. Lord Jesus, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." You imagine Jesus going to church with us. Jesus going to church with us. Does Jesus go to church? He does. He goes to church. He goes to church with his brothers and sisters. And he sings. Well, if Jesus does, what's wrong with you if you won't? If Jesus knows the value of singing when you come to church, you better open your mouth and let her fly. This is what he said. It's important for him to come and said, "I call them brothers." Not only that, I'm not going to come and be a spectator and an onlooker. I'm going to sing. I'm going to declare your name to my brothers. And I'm going to sing. Praise God. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." The Lord Jesus. "Will I sing praise unto thee." Oh, I will sing praise. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Oh, don't you love him, children? Don't you love him? Your time journey is almost over. If you could see it, there's not hardly any time left on this realm of mortality. And this just in your body. Your soul's already crossed. But it ain't going to be long. Oh, glory. Even that will be changed by the power of God. Hey, let's sing something together. You want to sing with us, Jesus? We thought we'd sing a little praises. You'd like to sing with us? Join right in with us, Lord. Let us make melody. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I give myself away. So you,
hallelujah,
can use.
Oh, let's worship him now.
Give myself away.
I do.
I give myself away. So you,
so you.
Can
myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams,
give myself away, so you
myself away so you can use me.
This love is so deep, It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand. Lay back against you. I seek you,
sweet Jesus.
Papa, the more I find you, and the more I find you,
rest in your peace. It's so